In the fight to keep health data safe, every node on your network is a potential battlefield. The fight is easy to notice every time we get a new notification for an update or a patch sent out for our laptops, our desktops, and smartphones. But how easy is it to notice in the next theater of combat, the war to secure connected medical devices? Welcome to Code Red, HIMSS Cybersecurity Podcast. And on today's episode, we'll speak with someone who's focused on the battle between hackers and healthcare systems to secure connected medical devices. We're joined by George Gray, Chief Technology Officer and VP of Research and Development at Ivenix. In a conversation recorded at HIMSS 18, George and I discussed the paradigm shift that cybersecurity causes in the medical device marketplace. Some practical tips for healthcare organizations on how they can protect their networked medical devices, and we even talked about the role healthcare organizations play as customers in demanding better security from the medical devices they purchase. All that and more coming up.
Intrusion detected. Code red.
The HIMSS Cybersecurity Hub is a new flagship component of the extraordinary HIMSS Innovation Center. The Cybersecurity Hub is a public exhibit and education center to help people fully understand their responsibilities and vulnerabilities in managing and protecting their health information. Immerse yourself in a multi-sensory journey through everyday healthcare experiences. Explore the latest security issues and solutions, and learn how to apply a variety of technologies to impact the secure flow of health information. Learn more at HIMSSinnovationCenter.org/cyberhub. George Gray is Chief Technology Officer and Vice President of Research and Development at Ivenix. George, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to talk about medical devices and security. That's not a hot topic, is it?
No, not at all.
Why is it such a big deal right now? Why is everybody talking about medical devices, and why is this so important?
Well, we live in a world where cyber threats are real and they're happening all around us. We all could probably give three or four examples of ones that stick in our head. And medical devices, really, in order to provide real value, they need to be connected, more connected than they were in the past. So in our space, the infusion pump space, if a hacker wants to control the pump, they can potentially harm a patient, they can demand ransom, and they can even attack other devices once they get into the network. So these things are becoming very hot. And my competitors didn't have to deal with this when they started, but now that's what everyone's talking about. That's what the buzz is about, because if you can control one device on the network, you can probably control the network at some point.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that a lot of devices that are out there were built before the time when security became a real
exactly,
issue.
Exactly, right.
And so now we have to go and retrofit medical devices to accommodate the security issues. I would imagine that sometimes that involves a complete redesign.
In many ways it does. It is very hard to go back to a system that's designed a certain way and inject mitigations for cybersecurity. It's much easier to do what we were able to do, which is to design it from the beginning.
And that's really how it should be done.
That's really how it should be done, because now you're thinking about all the holes and the potential threats that could be coming in.
So are today's devices capable of keeping up with the needs for security on today's networks? I'm sure there's a lag there. We still have a lot of devices that could stand some updating, but now you're developing new things. Let's say you're building the security in from the beginning. Does that put them on a par with today's networking technologies?
Well, I think most of the medical devices today are way behind the eight ball. They're trying to close holes. They're trying to turn off things that they didn't realize ran within their products that might have been these services that had no value, but they never thought about turning them off. Basically, security, in my opinion, has to be built in, because you need to be thinking about how a hacker might get into a system. And that information is always changing, right?
Right.
But if you think about a device today, you really need to be thinking about it like you're a systems person. So there are a lot of systems people who can rattle off, well, you need to deal with eavesdropping, or you need to deal with man-in-the-middle attacks, or you need to deal with user management. And they'll rattle these things off because they're normal things in the systems business. I had the advantage of being in the systems business for much of my career with medical products. And so when I tried to look at the device business in the same light, I really brought that with me. So I think that most device vendors, and I've talked to several, they know that they have to go there. They know that they have to start to use the conventional thinking of how you secure a network and apply that to a medical device.
Is it required or even possible that these new devices have an inherent intelligence about security built into them? Does that question make sense to you? Do the devices understand that there's a role that they play in security, and is that built into it? Or are they still just primarily designed to perform a function but be passively secure?
Most devices today are passively secure, but the new types of devices, the ones that we've decided that we needed to build, need to be intelligent about security and intelligent about first preventing the attacks, then detecting the attacks, and then doing something about it. So simple things that, like doing a software update, pretty normal on a PC, right? They come in all the time. Those are security patches. They're plugging holes. A lot of devices don't do that. You need to be basically incorporate that into your design and your architecture, and it needs to be able to work and work in a way where you can still use some of these devices. So it's a different way of looking at what you thought was the problem. Caring for patients is now a bigger problem.
It's right.
Caring for patients in this environment.
So they weren't previously designed to ever be updated in the first place.
No.
It was, this is the functionality they have, here you go.
Right.
It got on the network, and it's maybe in use for 10, 15 years, right?
That's correct.
They've outlived their ability to function in a secure environment.
Right. In my early days, I worked with patient monitors, and the way that we updated them is we pulled chips out and we put new chips in.
Right.
The software was on those chips. Those days are over.
So let's talk practical here. What are some typical mistakes that providers make when they add new devices to their networks?
Well, essentially, they're not thinking about the world from a security perspective. So the first thing that people need to do is they need to get themselves educated. So they need to, whether they're going to SANS training or reading the latest AMI documentation on cybersecurity, these are all things that are important to them. The second thing they need to do is they need to demand from their vendors that they actually can deliver the security that's needed. And that really requires them to give us a form, have us fill out what we can and can't do. And then essentially they need to mitigate around those. So as I said, most device vendors are not there today. So there's going to be a lot of mitigations, like locking down the network in a certain way so that you can't get at the device or things like that. But more and more, I think that the providers need to really take a stand and say, we will only use technologies that will keep us secure. And in my business, it's just like the patient monitoring business. There are a lot of infusion pumps out there. It creates a huge target to attack. So if you have 1,000 pumps in your hospital, there are 1,000 points that you can attack that hospital. So you have a huge responsibility to make sure that you're secure, because not only can they attack, but they can hide there too and launch other attacks from there. So I think the providers need to understand when they're purchasing these technologies, what level of vulnerability they're introducing into their network.
What kind of questions should someone ask a vendor when they're looking at these devices? What's part of the due diligence process?
Well, they should be asking them, are they encrypting the wireless communication? That's one level of encryption. They should be asking whether they're encrypting the EPHI data, you know, the sensitive data. They should be asking whether their communications are secure. So today we want to connect to our bank. We expect to use HTTPS, right? A secure, locked down, encrypted, authenticated communication. And they should be asking, is that type of communication that I can expect from you? Secondly, they should be asking, particularly in a device like an infusion pump, they should not only be saying, can you secure access to that pump, but what happens when someone gets in? Because obviously we're in a world where 16-year-old boys are trying to hack into everything. And so if they can hack into the data communication side of a pump, how does that affect the delivery of the fluids? And the answer should be, it doesn't. They're isolated completely. They should also be asking questions such as, can you install software patches quickly, easily, inexpensively? I talked to a big healthcare provider recently, and he had to do a very minor software update on his fleet. He has quite a large fleet, and it cost him $500,000 to do that update in many, many weeks. That's just unacceptable with
software
patches.
And that's just one update.
That's just one update. So, you know, compare that against the many updates that Microsoft loves to send you, and they do that because they're being attacked at all times. We have to get to that space. So they need to start to think in terms of that and make sure that their vendors are providing that. User management is another thing. A lot of devices today, they have an administrative account and an administrative password, which is oftentimes in their documentation. And oftentimes that documentation gets on the web, and so they have no security. You need to give those keys to your provider and let them manage their security, manage the permission of users. So if they have a disgruntled user that leaves the hospital, they can turn off their account and they can't have access to the devices.
So not changing, let's just say that one huge mistake would be not changing the administrative password on a device when you put it on your network.
Exactly, exactly.
And it happens all the time.
It does.
Right, unfortunately. We hope we're beyond the days of hard coding the password in there too.
Yeah.
That's another big no-no. Well, you're kind of alluding to something here that I'm curious about. On one hand, we're talking about connecting everything in the world, and there's a value to having all of this interconnection. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, there's a tension between wanting to connect everything, but still keep certain devices from certain types of connections. Could you address that tension?
Sure. It gets asked of me a lot, but what I try to point people back to is the fact that we all walk around with what I would call a personal computer in our pockets. Some people call them phones. There's security around those phones, and we're all very comfortable with doing that. So we don't need to be cybersecurity experts to use our phones. It does make us vulnerable. On the other hand, what we're talking about is putting devices inside of a hospital. Hospitals have IT departments, and let's face it, we all go into our offices, and we don't worry about the fact that our offices could be attacked, per se, because we have really good IT people who are helping us solve that problem. So as device vendors, we now need to turn to IT and we need to say, we need to be your partner. We need to help you be successful and give them the keys and the technologies and the details about what our product is and is not. And they'll protect the clinicians. So if we ever get to the point where doctors or nurses are looking down at their infusion pumps and saying, I'm not sure if I'm secure, I think we're in a bad place. So really, from a medical device perspective, we need to empower the IT department to be successful with our devices.
I'm glad you used that word partnership. I think that's a really key component here. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a matter of having, quote unquote, a vendor who supplied some kind of a device. There needs to be an ongoing partnership. You need to
exactly
really have a relationship, I guess, with your vendor and your customers. So that's really important. Beyond safety, what are some of the other implications if someone breaks into your network of pumps?
Well, obviously, if someone can get into your pump and control it in some ways, you probably have a ransom predicament on your hands. And that's probably one of the biggest issues that is out there. I don't suspect, and I don't think a lot of people suspect, that people are trying to, do harm, even though they can inadvertently breaking into a pump. The other thing is that, and I mentioned this earlier, a pump can represent an attack vector in and of itself. And what I mean by that is that if I can find the weakest link on your network and I can break into that link, then I can actually load my software on that device and I can launch further attacks. And when I look at this, when I tell people this, they look at me and they have a little grin like I'm making something up. But I think I need to remind everybody that when Target had that attack where many of us had our credit cards stolen, that attack came through a HVAC system. So someone found that vulnerability. They got into the HVAC system. Now they were inside the firewall. The HVAC system was trusted by some other system, and they walked to the other system, and then they went to the next one, and eventually they found all our credit cards, and they were stolen. So we have in these devices medical record numbers, patient information. Those in and of themselves don't seem significant, but they become keys that help you unlock something in the EMR, for example. And I can tell you that the EMR needs to trust devices because we're sending it data. So if you can get in between these systems, you can start to walk your way through the network and through the different systems.
Let's talk a little bit about the user interface and security. In your experience and the way you view this, and we're talking about holistic built-in security by design, what role does the interface between the user and the device play in helping keep that device secure?
Well, I think it's similar to what we think about with our phones, that there's some tension there where people don't really want to log into devices, but they can appreciate the value of having a user login. In this environment, you also have patients who are sitting in the room and they're looking and watching what's going on with the user interface. And so you need to be pretty careful about what types of, how you expose your logins and what kind of permissions that would give another user. So the user interface becomes really a piece in the puzzle in terms of how you want to really narrow down those attacks, because sometimes those attacks are from the 16-year-old boys who are sitting there with their grandfather and find it thrilling that they can now get into that infusion pump or patient monitor or something else.
It's a conquest,
yes,
right?
It is.
It's a ground acquisition game.
And that's why it really is a partnership with your IT department, because you'll discover these things along the way and you need to continue to adjust and work with them to improve your product. And those that don't will fall further and further behind.
So do we all need to start thinking like 16-year-old boys again?
I think so.
Is that our best defense?
I don't know.
Oh, I hope not.
I think we'll be fully employed to keep them out of our products, though.
We're recording this podcast at HIMSS 18 in Las Vegas, and you're participating in the Interoperability Showcase. Why was it important for you to be in that? You do security. Why are you in the Interoperability Showcase?
Well, I do security and interfacing. And, a big part of our product is really trying to bring information to the bedside. There are about 1 million adverse drug events associated with infusion pumps. And some of those can be addressed through really getting technology out of the way and simplifying things. But a lot of it has to do with really informing the user before they do something that there may be risk there. So I tell people that I really want to live in that last 2 to 3 minutes before someone takes action, before they deliver that drug. And to do that, you have to be really good at interoperating with other systems, because you want to bring information to you and you want to send information to them. And in that partnership, there are security issues. So if you're not at the table and you're not talking with other vendors, you're not having these discussions, and you're not improving some of the standards that are currently out there for passing data back and forth.
All right. So while you were saying that, I was planning to ask you a question about standards, and you brought it up. So now I can go there. Do the different standards further complicate the security issue?
They do, because they are, a lot of them were started and evolved prior to some of the cybersecurity issues. And that's why being on these committees and talking about them are important. I can tell you it's very important to everyone who's on the committee, but it's a matter of now evolving these standards so that they incorporate some level of security in them.
Very good. We have time for one more question. Is there something our listeners of Code Red should know more about cybersecurity? We've talked about maybe some pretty basic stuff today. We're still in, a lot of people need to have their awareness raised, and this is a great discussion about devices. But is there something that we didn't address that you really would like to share with our listeners?
Well, I guess I would just reiterate that, first of all, cybersecurity is a moving target. It's not something that you will do once and it will go away. It's something that you want to stay on top of. And that's why it's good to continue to stay educated and to really establish that partnership with your vendors and insist that they're there for you and that they can give you feedback. It's just really critical that these device vendors are not just working with the clinical engineering department anymore, that they're working with IT. And it's only through that relationship that I think you'll really build a very secure network.
George Gray is CTO, VP of Research and Development at Ivenix. George, thank you. I've really appreciated you coming here and talking to us. Thank you for your insights and sharing with our audience.
Thank you very much for the time.
This is Bronwyn Huron, Manager, Interoperability Initiative at HIMSS North America. You're listening to Code Red.
So what steps has your healthcare organization taken to secure your connected medical devices? And how have those experiences impacted your device procurement process? We'd love to hear from you here at Code Red, and you can send us your thoughts on this episode and this topic by email or voice memo to codered@hims.org. Thanks to our guest, George Gray, Chief Technology Officer and VP of Research and Development at Ivenix, for his insights and tips on securing medical devices. Code Red is co-produced by Adam Baser. Kelly Lippitt is our story editor and guest relations manager. Now, beyond this podcast, HIMSS also offers a cybersecurity community. It's rapidly growing, and you can find a link to this cybersecurity community on this episode's landing page. If you're a member, you get to join 2,000 other professionals for great speakers and lots of information exchange on a monthly basis. I'm Rod Pihowski. See you next time on Code Red.